Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here in the Robert J. Matthews Memorial Bunker right here in North Central Indiana. And it is March the 11th, 2014. And it's Tears Day and it's drizzly outside. It's not raining, but it's foggy and all that kind of stuff. And the last of our small layer of snow is melting away. Our big banks that build up along the roads, they're going to be there for a while. And they tell me it's going to snow again. But before it snows, we're going on out there to New Jersey, New Germany, and talk to Stray Dog. Good morning. It's been a few days.
Hey, good morning. Good morning from the far eastern stretches of the time zone.
Right. Yeah.
I know we're both dealing with the criminal cabal edict that changes our time. When we're suffering from that, where the time was put up 1 hour.
Yeah, and that's from the First World War. They established that so the farmers could be in the field an hour longer or get up and in the fields an hour earlier or something like that. And so once you, a politician, once they make a law, forget it. They'll never take it off unless you have a revolution or civil war.
I always wondered why the heck they put the time up. We speculated, but it's from the First World War, huh?
Yeah, to get more crops out of the field and crops into the field and all that kind of stuff. It's strictly an agricultural thing to feed the war. Here we go. Everything that's inconvenient, usually it can trace back to a war.
So yet another example of how the home of the land of the free, home of the brave, is led by a nose through the ring. Like, okay, this week we're going to decide to change the time. Now you change your schedule.
Right. That's right.
What kind of crap is that? People don't even see it like that, though, but that's the way you have to take it.
Well, what do you expect when they're in slavery and they've been in slavery for a long, long time, maybe forever, and they think they're free? The people in this country, they'll swear and they'll sing all these patriotic songs that, oh, thank God we're free and all that kind of stuff. And they're not free. They're just in a bigger concentration camp than a prison.
These people are acting punch drunk, I think, because they've been hit over the head with it for so many years.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it almost resembles, like, I always try to, whenever I have a question about humans, I try to mimic it with nature. And the way these people act, like you say, oh, yeah, rah, rah, American flag. They're not looking at the situation, what has happened in the last half century.
Yeah, and if you try to act truly like a free man or free woman, they'll try to hammer you down. That's the point. That's might is right, I'll tell you that. Either you hammer them down or they'll hammer you down because they can't stand you not going by their particular set of rules.
It seems like there's no, like in other countries in Europe, like Germany and other countries where you have five different groups of interest, there seems to be more compromise. In this country, you get, like you say, one side or the other, and one they have to hammer each other down. There's no consensus.
Yeah, and there's never any middle ground either.
Well, that's it's going away fast. And what about that governor from my state? There's a big article today in the one of the papers, Bloomberg Business Week. Even after Bridgegate scandal, Chris Christie is in better shape than you think. So, and you know what? He's taken some weight off too. So he's looking better. He doesn't have all that those heavy layers on him.
I don't think he did too good though at the conservative confab they had this last weekend. According to the people who sort of look over those things and sort of evaluate who's who. And he, on a straw vote, he was the last on the list, I think.
Oh, yeah, for the
president.
Yeah.
No, he's not gonna. I think he's crazy if he tries to run, and if he runs, he's not going to make it. He'll just be another McCain or another George Bush Jr.
Yeah, hey, they're all union busters, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and anybody that thinks they're in our camp that would run after anybody like that is not in our camp.
No, there's people like to keep voting. I mean, I was like that for a certain amount of years where I said, well, you know what, I'll try voting independent and Ralph Nader, Buchanan, things like that. You're wasting your time. You're missing a half hour worth of work to go vote for these creeps.
Well, hell, I was in all these third parties, or I mean American Independent Party and like that. I worked my ass off in the American Independent Party after I worked for Goldwater in 64. And the American Independent Party turned out to be just as fixed as the rest of them, because I walked out of the state central committee. I was a state central committee delegate. Well, that and a buck will get you a cup of coffee, you know. But anyhow, they tried to bulldoze me in the finance committee of the American Independent Party to try to push through a support for the Liberty Amendment, which was a fake amendment put together by Willis Stone, who I believe was a Jew, trying to insist that the Federal Reserve be taken back to the government. And, taken back to private enterprise, private banking. And I said, you stupid bastards, it's always been private banking. That Federal Reserve has got almost nothing to do with the federal government, except they furnish the presses and the paper.
Yeah, I think what he was meaning is right now it's running wild. There's nobody at the controls of the locomotive.
Well, they got a new Jew gal in there. She's just like the old Jew, you know.
Well, that goes, that's feminist. Oh, the garbage men are at your house. I can hear them.
Yeah, I see them out there too. on my intergalactic old security system.
Oh yeah, yeah. But you see this new president? He's putting in all women, so it's like a feminist putsch. Like, but that's just on the surface. Just to appease women to say, oh yes, yes. Look, they're appointing women to positions of power, when really. You look at the wage disparity, inequality between female workers and male. That should tell you right there that they're just exploiting the women and giving them lower wages. So they haven't really made any ground.
Except the number of women that are working and the number of white men that are out of work, because you look at TV and you see almost, you know, all these announcers are more and more and more women. And in the ads, more and more and more women. And now more and more blacks are doing the ads, and so white men are being shoved out. And
therein lies the problem. You know, I'm a male. If I could have babies, I would have 15 of them. You know what I mean? To create the new a realm of Aryans to walk on this earth and prosper and grow. And the warped way thing. I mean, you know, I grew up in that. I mean, you've seen it. You raised a family through that type of thinking, the women's revolution in the 60s and 70s. And that was very hurtful to have to grow up in that and see other people doing that, like limiting their family size. Good-looking white couple. Oh, no, no, we can only have one child because we don't want to put a burden on the system. How many times did you hear that? That infuriates me.
Well, they're putting a burden on themselves because, let's face it, in this era when you got to work two, three, four jobs, if you've got a job, it's not conducive to having kids. You got to give them a little out on that, too. And you mentioned if you could have kids, after the first kid you would be able to have, it'd be the last one, because the pain that a woman goes through to have a kid, I don't think there's any man around could take it.
Yeah, that's something, you know, these people that think, no, men and women, they're the same. You know, they're the same. No, they're totally different, species within a species, you know. Like, there's no way we could take their place or they take our place. So
I watched six kids being born and the agony that my wife went through, and boy, I'll tell you.
Oh, I couldn't do it. I would have passed out. You're a better. You're able to look at that kind of stuff without getting queasy. You know,
well, my wife would get a hold. She get a hold of my hand and she squeezed it. She almost broke my hand. I couldn't get away. Couldn't get away.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? How we're all brought in the world like that. It is a thing of beauty. And you know, who wouldn't want to have white people, like white nurses and things, around at that special time of birth? We had a incident out in Chicago, I think, where the mother requested, hey, I don't want any jungle bunnies around
yes.
when my baby's born. I mean, that's a beautiful time, the thing you're going to remember your whole life. And the media jumped all over that woman like, oh, you terrible hater. Like, I didn't see it that way.
Well, I'm happy that all my kids were born under all-white conditions before we got into all this mess.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Chambersburg here, Trenton, New Jersey, Chambersburg. Look on YouTube, Berg to the Barrio. The white people are still here. They give candid interviews on what happened. And this was an all-white area of so many square blocks within the black city of Trenton.
Yeah.
You see, our new mayor, he went out kicking ass. He went out for a tour of the city, and some beaner was about to urinate on the street, and he got after him, gave him sort of hollered out, giving him hell.
I saw that. I saw that. I sent it out too to the members on the club. You know.
Oh, that's funny as hell. That's funny. Maybe he'll do something and get after him. I doubt it though, because it's too. The blacks have taken over the street crime here.
What's this I hear about your water heater blowing up and blowing your roof off, or what?
Oh, that's what happened the last three years ago. That's what happened all in 1 year. The roof blew off. The water heater blew up. Welcome to home ownership. You wonder why blacks and mestizos don't own homes. Well, it's like taking care of a ship. It's like you got a big baby on your hand that you got to. And what you do is you're fixing it for the next generation.
Yeah, I wouldn't advise any young people to get into a mortgage situation. I'd say, rent or buy something like a mobile home cheap, you know, because putting yourself under a big mortgage. Well, when I had a mortgage years ago, it was only $90 a month. I mean, you know, which was easy to make, you know. But now these people are paying $200,000-$400,000 and up for houses, and then they got these gigantic mortgages. But I see Blackstone's buying up. It's a big hedge fund outfit, and them and a lot of other investors now have bought up 140,000 single-family dwelling homes in the country, and they got them cheap, and now they're going to sit on them until the price goes up, and then they're going to charge people probably twice what they're worth.
Well, you know where the real crime in that is property tax is owed on those properties while they're vacant. And somehow these companies that hold deed to the home, they get away with not paying that. And that's what I've investigated around the area. Yeah, these houses are vacant. But the title holders like this, around here we have this big company called Berkshire Hathaway, a real fancy British common name. And they put up all these shiny placards all over these old boarded-up buildings that could be nice houses. And, they get away with not paying the tax.
So, well, I think people out of a house and out of everything should just break into these houses and squat in them. Because if enough people squatted in them, they couldn't do anything about it. You know, they're doing that over in England, and some of the cities they do that, where, you know, they just go on in there and these houses, especially in an area where there's a whole bunch of them sitting there, just break in and go in and live there.
Well, that's nature's way. What does a raccoon do? What does a bear do when winter's coming on?
Yeah.
Seek shelter, you go in. Here on Hamilton Avenue, with an eye shot of my observation post, my tower, there's about 100 mestizo beaners from Central Mexico that live off the street that did this, just what you're saying. They pry open the plywood of the houses, crawl in there, they sleep, they come out, sit on the porch. So that's going on all over the nation. Here in Virginia, I see this morning, 80 manhole covers were stolen off the streets in a remote place. I didn't really catch the know where it was in Virginia, but it must be like a semi-industrial area to have that many manhole covers.
Well, that's survival of the fittest. I mean, you know, I want to tell you something. I have a lot of respect for the blacks that just take things in hands and break in and live there. I mean, I'm not talking about gangbangers and stuff like that. I'm talking about regular people that are just out of work and out of hope, and they're on the street. But the problem is the white people don't have the guts anymore. Well, some do, but very few to do those things. And those are natural things that we should have built into us to survive. And white people I'm telling you, they don't have the will to survive.
Well, it's those whites that still have a job, it's easy for them to get into a routine where they feel very productive by making money in that way. But they never reach their potential. They should be making a lot more for what they do.
Well, we've got over 650,000 people estimated on the streets. Now, I would imagine that probably 2/3 of those are white.
Oh, well, sure. A lot of the vets that come back, they come back exposed to all these chemicals, depleted uranium, and they're a little bit goofy in the head. They need help. They need somebody to watch them and help them.
Vets really are something. They'll charge into a machine gun nest or a pill box or whatever danger there is. They'll dive in there and risk their life and maybe get killed in the whole bit. They have all those guts because they're afraid of their superiors. They come back here and they turn into complete pussies and let everybody walk all over them.
Yeah, some of them. But I've talked to a couple that became police officers, and they were mad as hell that they had to serve over there, their tour, while the contractors were right next to them, like, telling me, oh, yeah, we had to protect the contractors, and they're making 3 times our salary.
Well, the ones I'm talking about, I run into these people in the veterans clubs, and they're white people, white men, Vietnam vets, and some Middle East vets, because most of the Middle East vets don't go in the service clubs. They don't see any reason to go in there. But anyhow, all these old guys just shuffle around like they're 100 years old, looking down at the ground, and they may have they don't have an opinion about anything, you know, and if you bring up anything, they say, oh, we don't want politics in here and stuff like that, see? So the veterans really, I'm dismayed at the way they act.
Well, isn't that a testament to war? These men went off to war at a very young age, and it changed them in a way where it made them introverts. It made them afraid to grow. It made them afraid to say, you know what, I was wrong. Because if they did that, that would delegitimize their whole youth. Think about it. This is a battle that these veterans fight inside their head. And that's why, I mean, you could really give these guys heart attacks. I talk up Ed Snowden all the time. And yeah, you should see some of these old-timers, you know, like 89 years old, their face turns 6 shades of red. Oh, yeah. Let me get that SOB. I'm like, don't you understand? Ed Snowden's on our side.
Yeah, well, they tend to worship power. People do. And even though they may subconsciously know how corrupt and rotten it is, they still worship power, whoever's in there. And I experienced that running for office because I didn't have the money the other people did and all that kind of stuff and didn't have much of a chance. And they'd tell me, said, well, you get the power, we'll go with you. But until you get the power, forget it.
But popularity without a money backing is, like you say, it's futile in the end. It's like a war of attrition. Those with money will eventually outlast you. That's interesting about Jesse Ventura. He said he may run this next cycle if his supporters will do the legwork.
They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. I mean, you're going to get a few teabaggers and, you know, Tea Party people. And the Tea Party thing is slowly going down the tube. If it wasn't for the Koch brother billionaire's money being fed in the back door, they'd have been done a long time ago. It's gone back to the mainline Republican Party. They're retaking over the party all over the country.
Well, we're going to see Ted Cruz is the guy that shut down the government. So
Ted Cruz.
I know a lot of, you know, that scored a lot of points with people, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, and we've done that before. Remember, we went through that with Gingrich shutting down the government. It's all politics. It has nothing to do with your welfare or my welfare or the black welfare or anybody's welfare. And we got to understand this is all choreographed, stage-managed politics, man. And it's got nothing to do with it, nothing to do with our general welfare of the working class.
You see what the 100 unindicted felons were doing last night? They were in the People's Chamber in the Senate trying to push their global warming, wringing their fist on the desk and saying, you know, we're going to stop these farmers from keeping their tractor running all night long and this and that, and they're just trying to sell something.
Well, they're trying to side side issue an important problem, and the problem, whether you call it global warming or what you want to call it, the problem is there. And it is a terrible thing that's threatening everybody on this thing. And there's no doubt of what's happening to the things up in the Arctic, and they're pushing the cold air down here and all that. But these guys want to trivialize it by saying guys running their tractors or cows farting and stuff like that. They do that to belittle an idea that's pretty concrete about weather change, and get people thinking, oh, I'm making fun of it, you know. And I used to do it myself, but I'm coming more and more to an understanding that there's definitely something going on there. And again, I think you could tell it by this weather this winter. You mean when you get 50 degrees one day and the next day starts snowing and the next day starts raining and the next day, I mean, you know, when weather changes that craziness, before the ice can be melted off, we get another snowstorm coming in.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, well, that's March. People forget the last heavy winter we had was 95, 96. And that was, we had several feet of snow here, a couple blizzards. Before then, the winter of 78, I think you were out west then. But I remember walking to Sunday school with my buddies. This what made us hate the Catholic Church, was having to walk every Sunday. It was like 10 degrees. We're walking with sneakers on, dungarees, and, yeah, that was winter 78. So here's the question. Will this heavy winters continue? I'm betting that they are from research I've done on my own self on the ocean, different charts. And this is what the Senate ought to be doing, saying, hey, you know what, these southern states should be buying dump trucks, salt trucks, snow plows, that kind of thing. That's how you get ready for it rather than just attacking the farmer who's got his thing running.
These politicians never think ahead. I mean, they're always behind the curve because they're looking for opinion and what a lot of people think and all that kind of stuff, or how it affects their bosses, the corporations. They're not going to make any move about anything until they understand what the corporations want them to do.
That's a good point, see, because the last week the reports came out, growth is down, profits are down because of the weather. So now, yeah, the corporations lean on their people, the Senate. Now they're going to pound their fist and see if they can do anything to that's what I'm convinced this chemtrail program. Maybe we'll talk a little bit on that. I'll give you the information I have. The information I have from mechanics at the airports is these chemtrails are a completely autonomous machine that is put inside the motor housing of the jet engine, and it is linked to a central computer system which analyzes when the chemtrail should be applied and when it should be restricted. So it's a completely turnkey system that is operated from probably NORAD deep inside a mountain somewhere. And this is all done to try to increase the temperature of North America because data shows we're on our way to a mini ice age. So that's the information I have for put it all together. Now, I don't know what it means completely, but...
Well, I mean, but the problem is we want to know what's going on. The thing that irks me is, and everybody else I think that's thinking about is, that they don't just come out and tell you, we have a problem here and this is one of the things we're going to do to try to alleviate the problem instead of treating us like what we are, serfs and slaves.
Well, some of this, see, you got to remember, the whole general public is not as smart as we are or our listeners. So telling them something like that might confuse them. And I'm thinking a lot of these chemtrails are just inert. I mean, so far there's no evidence that they're harmful, but it tends to be scary.
Well, I don't know about that. There's a lot of stuff I've seen this aluminum oxide is coming out of there. And it's landing on plants and people are breathing it, and like that, they make a pretty good case about that. You know, whenever you do something like this, there's usually a downside.
Yeah. Yeah, there'd be so many parts per million, I think. Could all be exposed to that. Like, say, if you walk through a plume of diesel smoke from a idling tractor trailer, that would be like roughly the same exposure that we get to these aluminum particles as they come down. So it is there, but it is minimal.
Well, when I was a kid, they went up and down the alleys spraying the clouds of DDT, and we're standing there just breathing it in, man. And so DDT is proved sort of harmful, but I don't remember any of us getting sick and dying. And DDT is probably a lot better to use than this Roundup, which is terrible.
I agree. I've heard the same story hundreds of times. I've had engineers argue to me that the banning of DDT has killed 4 million people worldwide due to malaria and mosquito-borne illness. And now we're seeing in this area, New York City area, dengue fever. What's the other one with the spine? Meningitis transmitted by, guess what? Mosquitoes. So the Chinese taught it. The Japanese taught us something good in their war on China back in the 30s. They had giant pens of rats, which they introduced fleas to. Yeah. Typhus fleas. Okay, these rats all have typhus. Now let's put them in a nice box and give our enemies a present.
Well, that's been going on for thousands of years. They used to do that by taking infected corpses with the Black Plague and stuff like that and catapulting them inside the walls of a city they had surrounded, trying to bring them to their knees. So biological and germ warfare has been used for ages, and it's a very dirty way to fight a war as far as I'm concerned. But I don't know. If might is right, I guess it's right.
Yeah, what was the other animal that was being used? I seen a intel from that. It wasn't a rat. It was I can't remember now.
I don't remember another.
I think I seen it somewhere. Yeah. Oh, what else we have? Let's see. Oh yeah, here we have so many rats here. I was going to design a scroll cage for the rat to run in, and then that to power a generator, a small generator. See, you got to be practical. And then when the rat's exhausted, you let him out and you get the next rat in. Now think about that.
Well, no, you're way behind. The bikers used to put pit bulls on a running thing and generate electricity and get them tough for they're going to fight. Use the dogs to fight anyhow, so they put them on a treadmill. You put a generator on there. You just get a bunch of pit bulls to power your house.
Yeah, I guess. Well, stray dogs, but I don't know. I'm a dog.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. And I don't think many of them did it either. But so are you going to go solar, you mentioned?
Well, you know, that's the way to go.
But where are we going to get panels that are cheap enough to where it's viable? I don't see any. Panels, they said they were going to lower the price and the panels were getting much better. I read that a couple of years ago, but I haven't seen anything cheap in solar panels.
Well, the swap meet's coming up next month, so you can get stuff there, pennies on the dollar. I'm going to check that first and then, check the local retailers. I know a guy that used to work for the big outfit that installed the system, so maybe he can get me something that at cost. I wouldn't need that many panels, maybe about 8 or 10.
Well, what happened to that company that Obama financed that went belly up? They were making them by the thousands, and I wonder what happened to all of those that they had left over.
Yeah, it's such a shame. We had a couple factories around here off the industrial areas, and I would go by them on my travels. Always meant to stop in there. Like, you know what, when I have an open truck or open thing, I'm going to stop in there and get a couple. And then I still roll ride one day, and they're closed. They were closed shops. So we'll see. You have to have a market before you start building these things, and there was no market yet. That's like the fiber optic companies. When they first started, a lot of money was put into that, and everybody lost their money because the communities weren't able to carry the fiber optics. But now it's taken over now, and it's pretty reliable.
There's a woman down in Florida I was talking about on her radio, or Malloy was talking about it, that the city come out and seized her house because she refused to use city electricity and water. She cut herself totally off from the services, and she was taking care of her own, getting her water and stuff like that, and using candles or whatever she used, and they actually were going to take her house away.
It's a VCO, violation of city ordinance. That's why they have a two-way system for electric. To be have your certificate of occupancy, the residents must be connected to water and electric, even if you don't use it, which is a scam because then you got to pay the ready fee. Even if you use none, your bill comes every month and you have to pay a fee, water ready, sewer ready, electric ready.
Now, that program is an international law. Can you believe that? I don't have it written down here, but it's some kind of an international homeowner's law deal, and I'll have to dig that out if I can. But I couldn't believe it, and he didn't really go into researching, what do you mean international, you know? That's interesting that we're tying this stuff into international laws and programs.
Well, it becomes clear we're not a sovereign nation anymore. We're citizens of the world. So your standard of living has to come down so that the mud people's standard of living can come up.
Well, I think you have to try to get along with the smallest house you can and do as much as you can to get off the grid or just lower your prices and your bills and so forth. It's the best you can do for now. But every time there's a loophole, any time there's something comes along, and they'll try to shut you down. Now, that's different over in Germany, where Merkel is encouraging everybody to get them. She's subsidizing all these panels for the houses. And in fact, in many cases, the government's paying for the whole installation.
Yeah, that's neat. They had the stats on this morning on, I think it was C-SPAN or RT. Germany creates 22% of Germany's energy is created by renewable resources such as wind or solar, where the United States is, I think, 12. China is 14. So it's coming up into a percentage. We'd like to see it around 50%. But see, the thing is, we have to remember, the reason why that Keystone Pipeline is being built for tar sands is because gasoline is above $3 a gallon. So they have to keep gasoline at that price for these companies to be able to make money with their tar sands.
Well, wait a minute. That tar sands is not going to make any gas for the United States. It's all going down to the Gulf, cracking it and putting it on tankers is going to China. None of that tar sands oil is going to benefit the United States people.
That's exactly.
It's not even... I mean, they pipe it all the way from Canada all the way down to the Gulf, and then they turn it into gasoline and put it on a tanker, and it's gone. Everything now, I mean, I saw the other day, what was it? I mentioned it on the radio about, I think one of the reasons that they want us to get into this sort of a hot war or close to a hot war over in Ukraine is, I heard a senator on there saying, well, this is why we got to increase our cracking and we got to increase getting gas out of the ground and all that kind of stuff. Well, for who? I mean, give it over there to somebody else, give all your stuff to somebody else. Hell with that. I mean, you know, and just now when the people are starting to get wise to cracking and all the problems that go along with cracking, here they're saying, oh, no, we got a national emergency. You know, we got to crack. We got to open up the ground and get all this out, you know. But most of that and all most of the coal is going offshore. It's not being used by the people in this country. And the big boys are making billions of dollars. And the working people don't get any benefit by most of this stuff.
Well, there's an example of free market economy. Offshore buyers are willing to pay more for the commodity, so the domestic producers ship it offshore. Hey, look what Hugo Chavez did, our friend Hugo Chavez. He nationalized oil in Venezuela. What did that mean in practical terms? Well, it meant that the citizens of Venezuela could pay 15 cents a gallon for gasoline. That way, they weren't getting beat in the backside for fuel, for energy costs. All the oil in Venezuela was nationalized. The profits went toward the people of Venezuela. This infuriated the world community. How could this man take care of his constituents like this? And well, you know what happened to him. You mentioned this, a couple years ago. He got sprayed with a powder.
Yeah.
Hugo Chavez.
Yeah.
And this is the diabolical agents.
They got him with the same stuff they was trying to get Castro with.
And sure.
Mary Feeney, or what was her name, that developed that for the government down in Louisiana, and they tested it out on prisoners from the prison down there to see how fast they died from it. And I mean, they did this weapons grade cancer agent would kill people in a few hours.
What kind of scientist would create such a thing? And be able to live with themselves.
Jews.
Oh.
Look at the atomic bomb, the hydrogen bomb, the cobalt bomb. Look at the gas used in World War I. You look behind all this stuff, you'll find Jews. I mean, not all Jews, of course, but most of it is very clever Jews. I mean, if they applied themselves to good things, it would be great. But they don't. But who pays for it, and who tells them to do it? It's not the Jew at the top. Franklin Roosevelt, even though people try to say he was Jewish, and maybe there was some Jew back, 50 years ago, that don't count. He told them to make an atomic bomb, And then he was listening to Morgenthau when Morgenthau said, we want to drop this bomb on Germany, which they would have if the war had lasted any longer in Germany. So it's always white Aryan Christian people behind these Jews. And then we tend to, being highly critical of Jews, we tend to blame it all on the Jews. Well, you cannot just blame it on the Jews, because it's white guys. White non-Jews that are paying the bills and taxing the people to set this stuff up. But the problem is the right wing never wants to accept that. They don't. The Christians never want to accept their guilt in all this crap that goes on around the world.
Every voter is my arch enemy. They give legitimacy to these Jews and Jew thinkers and government. Half of them are white. They just go along with it. They're brainwashed.
Well, the bulk of the white people in this country are war lovers. They'll say, "Oh no, I want peace, peace, peace." But look at every president that is in a war. He's a great hero, a wonderful man, and they build more and more statues and name highways after him. Look, Jimmy Carter didn't have hardly anything go bad in his administration as far as external war, and look what his reputation is.
They dogpiled him.
Yeah, he's a peacenik, man. He's a chicken shit, Well, that's, the peacemakers are never looked up to and never rewarded, Look at Ralph Nader and all those kind of guys, They treat him like crap,
Yeah, well, a lot of that is that people in their own party don't want him to run, like Nader was getting death threats from Hillary Clinton camp at the time, So.
Well, he's been getting it from, 30, 40 years ago. I remember when he came out with that, the Pinto was a death trap car because you hit the back of it and the gasoline tank exploded.
Sure.
People were getting burned to death, and he had the audacity to bell the cab, bell the whatever, and everybody came down on him and all the Republican Party and everything. Oh, my God, he's a communist, he's a socialist, and so forth. Well, the problem, the one problem I was thinking of with Chavez, I don't think people living in majority non-white or race-mixed countries can make socialism work very well. I think socialism works quite well in the Nordic countries and even in other countries, because even though they may not admit to being socialists, Germany and France and all them, of course they're socialists. And England doesn't seem to be able to handle their socialism either. But we don't seem to be able to handle our capitalism, you see. And the capitalism is far more dangerous in the long run than the socialism.
Yeah, agreed. Now, wouldn't Venezuela be fine without the CIA influence trying to... Because the USA sees Venezuela as low-hanging fruit.
Well, yeah, you're right there, maybe I shouldn't be so hard on them, because Argentina, I think it was Argentina, where was it? Allende was deposed down there, and General, not Somoza, but that other general.
Chile?
Chile, yeah. You see, Now, Allende came in there, you know, and I was in the Birch Society at the time, and I was being spoon-fed this story. Oh, the communists, Allende's a communist, and we got to get Pinochet in there, and he'll straighten up and get rid of these communists. Well, it turns out, after all these years, you know, getting the straight scoop, that Allende was bringing socialism in, and he was getting rid of this Chicago Milton Friedman crowd and their, you know, their free trade stuff, so-called free trade, which is not free trade, and then corporate thing. He was getting them out of there and putting in socialism and bringing the country back. I mean, it was in a hell of a shape when he took over. I mean, they were billions in debt. And so he gets in there, and things are starting to go good. And then all of a sudden, the CIA and all of them finance Pinochet to take over. And Pinochet murdered thousands of people in Chile and took them up in helicopters and tossed them out the doors and everything else. And you see, I was on the wrong side back then. As far as that particular situation, I was fed all this bullshit by the Birch Society. And so that shows you the corporate control behind the scenes that the Birch Society had. Even though I did learn a lot of interesting and good, important things through the Birch Society on important issues like that, you know, they had, I don't know, different leaders around the world that they were promoting, and they were dictators. You know?
Yeah, their propaganda is very powerful. And see, you were eventually able to see through that. Now, look what's happened in the Ukraine today, where you have the European Union, United States antagonizing Ukraine, sticking their nose in there. They have no business. The Russian Federation moves in to protect its interests, and they're demonized for it when it's right on their doorstep.
Right. And the military-industrial complex can't wait to get involved in this with boots on the ground. They lie when they say they don't, because they never saw a war they didn't want to get into or any kind of. They're just trying to get somebody to kick it off. They already almost did when last week they had some type of I don't know who they work for, but probably the EU or CIA. They were sniping and killing people. They killed about 20 people that were on both sides. They weren't just killing one side. They were killing people on both sides, trying to get it going.
Sure, but the American news reports that it was the Russians shooting Ukrainians, which was totally wrong. That's what people tell me here that don't watch RT.
Yeah, I have not seen any lies as bad and blatant as are coming through the press now. I mean, they've always lied, but the lies they're telling about this situation are the worst lies that I've ever heard.
Yeah, that Eddie Snowden, Fast Eddie Snowden, has made Uncle Sam crazy. He's frothing at the mouth. It's like a wild animal getting ready to get out of its cage. And the door has opened in the Crimea and Ukraine. And it's, you know, it's a shame to see white people fighting like that, you know.
Like I told you, Obama's going to be the brunt. He's going to hold the bag, because everybody I talk to, they come around and they say, oh, God, we got to get rid of this Obama. I had a woman stop in front of my house yesterday and say, I like your sign out there. I really like your letters to the paper. Said, I wonder why nobody's shocked that son of a bitch, you see? I hear that all over the place ever since he's been in there. I mean, you know, he's going to end up holding the bag, and I don't know. I'm telling you. I just tell him, well, somebody bumps him off, there's always 15 people to take his place, so that don't do any good.
Well, you have Joe Biden. Look at the unstable psychopath he is. He's living in 1972 still.
Well, look at Kerry. He's half senile. Sometimes he talks crazy. You don't know what he's talking about half the time. He just stands up there and says a bunch of words. He's just as screwed up as Biden. And I mean, can you imagine a Russian's trying to deal with somebody like that? I say, what the hell? These guys, what are you sending over here? These guys are morons.
John Kerry looks like a Muppet Head space candidate. The way his face has blown up through those, they inject live botulism in your face. They call it Botox or something. That's horrible. Who would want to alter their appearance? I mean, now, unless you're like some kind of secret agent and need to disappear, yeah, then you get your face cut out. You want to alter your appearance. But, well, I guess in this case, they're trying to make John Kerry look younger, which, you know.
Yeah, well, that's a waste of time. I mean, either a guy is a good leader and he's a smart guy and he knows how to negotiate. You see, the history of our races, we always depended on the old guys to be the wise guys of the tribe, you know. And now everybody's ashamed to get old, and they'd like you stupid if you're old.
Right.
And push people aside when they get old. They don't know nothing, you know.
Well, here's one thing I learned on, I seen a lecture from this guy's hillbilly up in North Carolina. Years ago, the rite of passage for a man, for a white man, was that when you got old enough, you built your own house. And how did you do that? You went into the forest, you got rocks, you got trees, you got sand, you got dirt, and you build a house. We've lost that rite of passage, white men, where the houses we live in are structures that people built that we've never met, we've never seen, and they're built with materials that come from far away that are sometimes dangerous and toxic. So that we have to remember also that the building culture of the Aryan race, how 100 years ago, every man, every knew how to build. 200 years ago, it was a frontier type expansion, and unless you have that kind of cohesion among whites, where we could all relate to each other through a common practice, I think that's what creates unity and it creates culture, and that's what we teach when we try to teach people how to build things.
Well, I don't know about unity. I think that the laws are in place to tie free men down, individuals with a lot of gumption that can build a house. It's to tie the strongest of our people down with all these laws, and it's just this common uniformity, fellow citizen bullshit, to where anybody that does anything a little bit out of the ordinary in the community, they come down on them with laws and all this kind of stuff, and the cops are there. So laws are made to tie you down, and, you know, and that's why I would rather consider myself an outlaw, even though I haven't done anything to actually get them to come out and get me. I feel more in league with the outlaws myself.
Well, you break the law just by going outside. You spit on the sidewalk, you jaywalk, so... look, there's only one law, and that's nature's law.
Yeah, and you're not outside the law if you go by nature's law.
No, it's whatever is good for our people, for the white race, is of the utmost importance.
That's right.
You know, these young kids, they want to join us. So, oh, I've got to join something. I've got to join. You're already there, kid. Just look, open your eyes, open your ears, get yourself a notepad, a pencil, a pen, start taking notes on everything, everything you see. Who comes and goes, and you got to focus on your own town. Look, I'm from New Jersey. I've never been out of New Jersey my whole life. If you want to know anything about New Jersey, you ask me. I got this part covered. And this is the concept. See, we got to constantly tell them, promote it, spread it. You're already in the club. No club to join. Your skin's your flag. And when it comes time, you'll see all those beautiful bald heads, white heads, come out, and we'll all look at each other. And all realize we've all been doing the same thing, but separate, not even knowing each other.
Several years ago, I was talking to this leader of the Black Panthers up in Chicago. I did a TV show, which he was on there, and we were talking. And he said, you know, Mr. Metzger, he said, I'm driving home late at night, and I come to a stoplight, and there's nobody coming. There's no traffic at all. He said, you know what I do? I said, what? He said, I run the son of a bitch. I ain't going to respect their spotlights. I like that attitude. I like that attitude. I ran right through a stop sign the other day. There was nobody coming to hell with them, you know. But the point is that we've got to recapture the individual spirit, and that's risky. You risk being jailed and everything else by being a free man. Almost none of us are free men anymore. We're not free. I mean, you know, there's a million laws in California. They pass 2,500 new laws a year. And and you're supposed to know every one of them, or you're guilty of some crime, you know.
Well, I would propose this to you. I would say, don't worry, do what you want, say what you want, because we've already all said enough where we're all criminal for just being white. So someday when the system gets that oppressive, they'll come and say, oh, you like white people, you speak on white people's behalf, come on, you're getting locked up.
Well,
so you know what? So what? You know, let it happen. If they want to push it like that, you can't be afraid of them. You can't. Don't ever get down in a rut where you feel like every move is dictated by the system.
A majority of the white people in this country, if given the choice between me walking around free, being a free man and doing what free men do, and putting me in prison, I'd be in prison a long time ago. If I was in Canada and these other places where they've actually got it criminalized, hate speech and all that kind of stuff, I'd have been in prison 30 years ago. And most of the mob and the masses who are asses will vote for no free speech and put you in jail. If they had the power, they'd do it. And like the whoever did yesterday called the sheriff and said, well, he's got up there, carries a dick on that big sign. And so the sheriff come around and he was laughing about it. And I said, they want you to take it down. I said, no, that ain't coming down. He said, okay, have a nice day, and left. But you see, those kind of people would like to be able to just destroy you. I mean, you know, you tear your sign down, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And we have to exhibit to the people around us that we're free men, you know what I mean? I don't mean go out of the way to get in trouble, but on the other hand, we need to let the people around you know that you think like a free man, and that radiates out. I talked to a lot of people, and I know I put some fairly decent ideas in their head, and some of them will wake up, and that's all you can expect to do.
Well, you act naturally, and you don't hide your racism. You hide, if you're on assignment, you hide it. But in everyday life, I found, like I've reported in the past, you know, through school, through sometimes in the workplace, the racism will help you. You'll meet other racists that, you know, will look out for you and stuff. And other times it'll hurt you. So that's like an individual call. You really got to feel that out.
Well, once you get a reputation as a racist, and the Jews help you get that, you don't have to tell people. Everybody in this town knows who I am and what I believe.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, and either they like it or they don't like it. And I must tell you that almost everywhere I go, I'm treated with not only friendliness, but respect. But these people are not the kind of people that are going to stand up and do it themselves, but they can respect somebody else who does.
Hey, you know what? I did the research on what is a white supremacist, and I think the Jews will say anyone who does not believe in equality is a white supremacist.
That's probably what they think, yeah, yeah.
So, well, hey, you can meet a lot of Japanese that don't believe in equality, too, whether they are white supremacists, you know. So.
Well, they're Japanese supremacists. I met a whole lot of them when I was over there. We got along great, you know, the Japanese Nazi Party.
Yeah.
And all of them.
Hey, one thing I learned from that book, that beautiful book, The Nazi Virus, I'm reading. What a beautiful book. Efforts without results is a complete futility. That's the one thing I've learned so far. Effort without results is a complete waste of time. So to that end, I hope our guy up in North Dakota is okay. But,
well, that's why they keep the right wing running around chasing their tail. And then they never can change anything, never solve anything, because they never go after the right targets. They never zero in on what really screws up the system. In fact, they're law and order people. You know, the right wing's law and order people. I say, who's law and who's order? You know, David Lane would say that. You know, I want order. The hell with your order. Your order sucks. I'll be an outlaw.
Them right wingers are all chicken shit. I talked to them, and I had to find out I live in the burg, in the ghetto. I'm like, oh, you live there? How do you do it? How do you live around them blacks? How do you do it? You ignore them. You intimidate them. You don't let them bother you. You live, and you live good. You hear music, you play it back. That's all.
Hey. Well, like I say, when I spoke to the Black Panthers several years ago, and every black meeting I ever appeared at, I got a standing ovation because I was straight out with it. I didn't lie about it. I said what I was, and I said what I want, and told them the government are a bunch of thieves and rats, and they're against all of us, and I got along fine.
Hey, the blacks hate the Jews more than we do. Just ask them in Lakewood.
They're victims more of the Jews in some senses. In some senses, big senses, they're not. But on the in housing, in rental housing, where the Jews buy up all the cheap rodent-infected houses in the ghetto and rent them out at twice what they're worth. I mean, so... And then they used to start little stores. Now it's the Arabs that start these stores in the ghetto and charge more than they should and all that kind of stuff. So they have long experience with the Jews, and they know about the Jews involved in slavery. I mean, but you see, the problem was there were so many non-Jew whites involved that there's no way around that. We were involved in, I mean, the ruling class of the white race was involved up to their teeth, up to their neck, and in slavery. And there's no way of getting around that.
Hey, let's send a couple rabbis up to Leith, your property. Yeah. You could put a, you know, with the black hat and a big beard. And
well, I sent out the comment that next July I think they're going to have a big celebration of how they saved Leith. And I said, I'm going to come up there and sit on my lawn chair on my lot and watch the parade go by, you know. I have some plans working now that's going to be interesting. But anyhow, I can't talk about it.
Hey, get a cardboard cutout and put it up.
But I'm telling you, I'm going to probably keep that lot till hell freezes over just to bug them.
Yeah, a concrete memorial. That would be awesome. Yeah. With a camera on it that sends video back to us.
Well, I was thinking about a big memorial to Robert J. Matthews, a big concrete something that's reinforced concrete that don't matter how much they hammered on it, they couldn't get rid of it, you know. Anyhow, there's all kinds of possibilities. The fun's just begun. Craig Cobb had a good idea. He just went about it the wrong way. And so that kind of stuff will work if you skew it properly and not try to make it an all come. It's better to have one well-known racist in a whole bunch of little towns than it is to have several racists in one town.
Sure. That's for your own safety. That way you know nobody could roll over on you.
Well, just the idea that you're there, whether you own property or what. Well, that's about it. I got to get out of here. I know you got things to do. Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for having me, TT.
Well, it's been good having you, and this is 14-5, and what do we say?
We say at the end is,
shut up.
Yeah, take it to the bank, baby.
Okay,
bye. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.